And now your speaker is Keith Young.
If you would, turn to Matthew chapter 9, verses 36 and 37. Actually, we'll look at 37 and 38. And I want us to answer the question tonight, what is evangelism? This is one of the core parts of our Christian life. This is something that we need to make sure is central to what we do in our lives as we prepare for the Lord. And really the best way to learn about the subject is just to go back to God Himself and allow Jesus Christ to tell us more about evangelism. You notice here in verses 37 and 38, "Then saith He unto His disciples, The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that He will send forth laborers into the harvest." If you go back to the two verses before this and you look at verses 35 and 36, you see the Lord has been working. The Lord has been busy. In these verses you see that He has gone to their towns, He's gone to their villages, He's gone to their cities. He has tried to get the message to them, and He has been in their synagogues. He has been healing those who needed to be healed, who had infirmities and diseases. He has been one who has been spreading the kingdom's gospel to others, trying to get to them this precious message that He came for them. He is one that is laboring hard to make sure that this wonderful message has been brought to them. And as He is going about bringing that message, you notice that as He notices the people, He has compassion on them. He sees them to be a flock without a shepherd. And above all, He knows what He is trying to offer to these people, what it can mean in their lives, and those precious souls that they have and what they need from Him in His teachings as well, in the sacrifice that He is going to commit on the cross for them. And then He says those beautiful words that we just read in verses 37 and 38 to His disciples. He tells us right there, the harvest is plenteous, but there's a problem. The laborers are few. When you look at the Lord's idea about evangelism, you can see it was a great concern to Him. You see the emphasis that He gives to His disciples here about the need to reach out to others, the need to see these precious souls for what they are and understand how that they needed the message that Jesus had for them. And so as we, His church today, focus on the idea of evangelism tonight, I want us to really center on what the Lord considered to be evangelism and what we need to add to our own lives to help us to be better in seeking others and being the evangelist that God wants us to be, so that we can see those precious souls the way that our Lord saw them, so that we can understand that soul that does not have Christ is lost, and it should matter to us just as much as it matters to Jesus Christ, because we understand what He gave us so that we could be free from sin. And so I want us to look at evangelism tonight. I want us to study it. And I don't want us to look at our neighbor and say what he needs to do in evangelism, but I want you to look at yourself, and I'm going to look at myself. And I want us to leave this place tonight seeking to have a more evangelistic view as our Lord and Savior does, and He intends for us to have as well. Evangelism is, might be an interesting place to start, but it is the first place almost everything in a Christian life should start, prayer. Jesus says, "Pray ye the Lord of the harvest." And any true servant of God who truly understands what he is about to seek to do in the Lord's name, everything we should do, we should be just like old Hezekiah, one who saw the needs of his city, understood what is going to happen to Jerusalem unless the Lord intervenes, and he brings it before the Lord in prayer, and he asks the Lord for help. Do we want to evangelize?
Do we want to save the precious souls around us? Do we want to help people to be prepared for judgment and not have to face that punishment that is going to go to those who do not have the blood of Jesus Christ in their lives and do not have the sanctification that comes from being His servants? Then the first thing we need to do is pray. And something that we need to make sure that we do is that we pray for everyone. It doesn't matter if that person has done good to you or bad. There is not a soul the Lord does not desire in any person. And we as His church need to have the attitude that when we look at people, we see what is truly important. The soul that God placed in them. We realize above any petty differences, above any opinions, that there is a soul that God wants to know that truth that He has given us in His Bible, and that we need to seek to save that precious soul. In Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 and 8, ask, and it shall be given unto you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and the door shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. You know, one of the problems I see oftentimes is we in the church, we don't take advantage of this very thing. We don't pray to God that we have doors opened. We don't pray to God for these opportunities. We're not seeking those lost. But instead, we, like the rest of the world, get caught up in ourselves and we forget the purpose of saving others and helping them to understand what God has done for us and that He can do for them as well. We need to look at every soul around us and realize it's precious to God. That God wants them to be saved. And then we need to pray for them and pray for opportunities and the wisdom to recognize those opportunities so that we can get out there and reach them and help them. Brethren, we have the truth. We have the only thing that's going to matter on the day of judgment, and that is the will of God for our lives. And oftentimes, we treat that in a way that it should not be treated. Do you look for your opportunities to reach others? Do you truly try to find chances that you can do something to help someone else to become spiritually stronger? To see their spiritual needs? To realize what is truly important in life? Because they look and see how important their soul is to you. One of the things that bothers me about the church as a whole is we oftentimes have lost that loving nature that our Savior intends for us to have. Oftentimes, people can walk into a service of our Lord in multiple places. I've walked into them myself. And when they get there, there's not a friendly person there. There's not anyone there trying to help them to realize that this is a place where they can learn about God and that this is a place that they can be a part of a very special family that will get them to heaven. Oftentimes, we're so busy with ourselves that we forget what God would want us to do with other people. Brethren, when visitors come into the worship service of our Lord, this is an opportunity. This is a chance that we can reach out to others, and they need to see the love of this congregation and the love of every congregation, and they need to be those who realize there's something special about this place. That I want to come back. There have been many congregations that I've been to. They didn't use their opportunities to make me want to come back. They didn't reach out. They didn't show me how they loved one another. They didn't show me how they thought my soul was precious and how that they wanted me to go to heaven and that my soul meant something to them. What about us? Do we pray for those opportunities?
And then do we seek them out so that we can help others and reach them with the beautiful gospel of the Son of Christ, the Son of God, excuse me, who died for us. Colossians 4, verses 2 through 4. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. With all praying also for us that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak.
You know, I find it interesting here, and we're going to look in a verse in Ephesians as well in a minute, that Paul is praying that people would help him so that he wouldn't miss opportunities.
Help me to have the utterance that I need. Help me to make sure I take advantage of every opportunity that I have. Make sure that I'm using what God has given me that I may be able to say to others that which will help them to see their need for Christ. But not only that, we should be praying that obstacles would be removed from our way. We look around us today and we realize, brethren, we're in a battle. We're in a war. There are forces right now that are trying to take God away from this nation in every which way. They've already got Him out of the schools. How many government places now are trying to get God away from government as well? How often have things happened where God has been taken out of places because Christians aren't praying that these obstacles would be removed and seek an opportunity to make sure that God stays where He needs to stay?
In 2 Thessalonians 3 and verse 1, finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you. Do we pray that the gospel will be able to be continually taught freely? Do we pray for the opportunities of things that would stop the gospel, that they would be taken away? Do we pray for courage to be able to stand when it may be that things would be difficult for us to take that gospel to others? We all know it's difficult at times. We all understand that there are times when it's hard to present that gospel to others, when it takes courage, when it's difficult because of the situation that we're in. Do we pray for courage that we're going to stand for God? Do we pray that when we have those opportunities come, that we're not going to back down, that we're not going to be one who would turn our back on the Lord knowing that He would not turn His back on us? In Ephesians chapter 6, verses 18 through 20, notice again, here's Paul. We just read from Colossians. He was in prison there. He's in prison here as well. And notice what he says about those opportunities and the courage to take advantage of them and use them to teach others about the wonderful gospel of Christ. Praying also with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Paul knew it was going to be difficult. He prayed that others would give him the ability by praying that he would be one who had courage as well. That he would be one who was ready to take those opportunities to evangelize. Are we seeking to be what we need to be as evangelists by first of all preparing ourselves in prayer? By making sure that we're ready for what God has before us. For understanding that if we're going to be fortified and strengthened to be able to accomplish the tasks that are before us, that it has to be that God is the one who provides the foundation and the strength. Evangelism is also opportunities. Jesus says as well in that verse to send forth. Brother, something we need to all realize is that opportunities are not in the future, they're now. How often do we think we're going to do something later?
We're going to teach some soul later. I'm going to talk to my neighbor later. I'm going to talk to my kinfolk later. I'm going to talk to my friend later. And we keep putting off. And it is such that all that time, we don't know how much longer they have to be on the face of this earth. We don't know how much longer we have to be on the face of this earth. All we know is that we have right now, by the long suffering of our Lord, 2 Peter 3 and verse 9, and that right now is the time we need to be reaching out to those precious souls and trying to reach them. Notice here in John 4 and verse 35, "Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look into the fields, for they are white already to harvest." You know, brethren, we are blessed in this county. Because in this county, there are all kinds of congregations of the Lord's church. We have a lot of fellow brothers and sisters in Christ around us that we can gain support from and that can gain support from us, and we can help one another. But for all the Christians that are in Warren County, the harvest is still white. The fields are still plenteous. There are still countless souls that do not have Jesus Christ as their Savior. We need to realize that the opportunities are now. And we need to look to take advantage of those opportunities, realizing that good works spawn opportunities for evangelism. Realizing that if we will seek to do good unto others, as Galatians 6 and 10 tells us, that if we will be those that have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially they of the household of faith, that we can find more and more opportunities to reach souls. That if they start seeing that we care for their souls, if they start seeing that we have a concern for them, if they start seeing that we're going to try to do our best, that there must be something very precious about my soul because they want to reach me. The Christian life is a life that mimics Christ's life. It's a life of sacrifice. We give ourselves up, Romans 12 verse 1, we present our bodies a living sacrifice unto the Lord. Well, in presenting our bodies a living sacrifice, we give ourselves up to God and His will. Luke 19 and verse 10, the Lord came to seek and to save that which was lost. Have we given ourselves over to the will of God as we should? Are we truly seeking to save that which is lost? Doing good things, becoming maybe the only Bible some people ever see by the example that we give them, helping them to realize how precious their soul is to them because it's precious to us. Let us not neglect the opportunities that come our way. Let us see them for what they are. Blessings from God that allow us to be able to continue in His ministry and His work. Blessings that allow us the opportunity to reach others. James 4 and verse 17. Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. We've got to keep our eyes open and our minds alert. We got to see the opportunities that are before us and seek to achieve what God wants us to achieve so we can be better servants, that we can have more souls in heaven with us, so that we can reach others. Brethren, look around you. Every person here of accountable age has a precious soul that is going to face judgment. Does that matter to you? Every soul that you're going to drive by on the way home is going to face judgment. Does it matter to you? What are you doing to reach those souls? What are you doing to serve the cause of Christ in their lives? When Jesus opens a door for us, no man can close it, but we can fail to walk through it. Are we failing to walk through the doors
that are offered to us by our Lord? Do we fail to see those opportunities that are given to us? In Revelation 3 and verse 8, I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. No one can shut that door but us. No one can ruin those opportunities but us. No one can stop us from being able to give people the opportunity to hear the gospel but us. And you know, if they obey it, that's great. If they don't obey it, at least at judgment they will know that they had the opportunity to obey it. At least they will go to judgment knowing that it is such that there was an opportunity that they could have obeyed, and there will be those precious souls that do obey. But also, brethren, evangelism is work. Notice that the Lord said, laborers. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 6 through 9, I have planted, Apollos water, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. You are God's husbandry. You are God's building. We are laborers together with God. God has done His part. He has given us the foundation that we can stand upon, and given us this wonderful cornerstone, His Son, Jesus Christ, and given us the blood of Christ to be free from our sins, and given us this wonderful church that we can be a part of, the body of Christ. He has labored. He has put everything forth. He has given us what we need to be able to be those who can have salvation and eternal bliss with God in heaven for all eternity. Are we going to labor as He desires for us in His vineyard? It's labor. It's work. There's no way that we can expect it to be something that is fast and easy. There's no such thing as a microwave religion. Our Lord didn't bring that. In fact, He compares it to what? A harvest. When you compare it to a harvest, we understand from those who planted gardens and such, this is hard work. This is something that takes time. This is something that has different phases. This is something that requires patience and effort and a desire to receive that harvest and to be ready when it is time to harvest the reward. God wants us to be laborers. Good works glorify the Father. Are we seeking to glorify Him with the labor that we present? In Matthew 5 and verse 16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Are we producing the fruit that He wants us to? Are we those who are truly those in His vineyards and His laborers that are producing as He would have us to do? In Titus 3 and verse 14, and let all our people also learn to maintain good works, to meet urgent needs, that they may not be unfruitful. You know, you go back to the idea of the garden. There is no quick and easy way to raise potatoes. And you're going to have to get dirty. Brethren, if we're going to reach souls, we're going to have to get dirty. We're going to have to put our hands to the work. We're going to have to get in there and labor and realize that it's not going to happen by accident, and that it is God's will for us to be out there in His vineyards striving to save souls. Evangelism is teaching. You notice here it says, Jesus said, into the harvest. It's impossible to evangelize without teaching. There are some people that think that somehow they're going to accidentally sneak people into the church. That doesn't happen. We know from Jeremiah 31 and 31 and following, the prophecies given that those who would go into this new covenant, the one we follow today, the covenant Christ gave to us, that they would have to have a knowledge to enter into that covenant, that they would know what is required of them. Hebrews chapter 8 shows the fulfillment of that.
It didn't just happen. We got to get out there and teach people. We got to help them to realize what God's will is for them. We got to help people realize the church isn't a social club. It's not just a place for us all to get together and reminisce and just have a good time. We should love our brethren. We should love being with one another. But God has for us a higher purpose. God has blessed us with the ability to do more than that. God has given us the ability to go out and see the precious souls that He died for and give them a message where the power is of God Himself, that they, if they would obey it, could be saved. We are required to make disciples. Are we working in the vineyards? In Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20, we know that Jesus told them that all power is given to me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Amen. John 7 and verse 17. If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. John 8, verses 31 and 32. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on Him, if you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Acts 2 and verse 40. And with many other words did He testify and exhort, saying, save yourself from this untoward generation. Brethren, are you seeking to save yourself and then also others in this untoward generation? Are you seeking these precious souls that Jesus died for, as precious as your soul is or my soul is? A soul that He desires, a soul that our Savior wants, a soul that He has given us the ability to take the gospel to, and a soul that we have the responsibility to reach out to try to help to see the need of the gospel in their lives. Are we truly seeking to be the evangelist that God wants us to be? Realizing that evangelism is prayer, that everything in our lives starts with God, and we need to be praying for those opportunities. We need to be praying that things will be removed that are difficult, that we'll have the courage to stand where God wants us to stand, that we'll be those who seek the opportunities that are presented to us and have the wisdom to know how to use those opportunities, that we will be those who will work. It's time to get our hands dirty, brethren. It's wonderful that we come to these wonderful buildings that we have and that we get together as the family of God and worship. But our work to God is not over when we leave this building. There's not a time clock that we stamp and then we leave. We're laborers outside of the building just as well as in. Are we working to be what God wants us to be? And seeking the lost. And we got to teach, making sure that we bring that gospel to others, helping them to understand God's plan for them so that they can be prepared for judgment, so that they can hear what we all want to hear. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. If you were to be judged tonight by the Almighty, would you hear that? Would you hear a message of well done, thou good and faithful servant? Or is there something in your life right now that would separate you from God? If you've obeyed God and you've lost your way, then I hope tonight that you would realize I've got to get myself in a back to the right relationship with God so I can get to others because they need God as much as I do. And therefore, repenting of your sins, and if it be a public thing, confess it before the congregation. If not, then deal with it with God in private matter. If you are one who's never obeyed the gospel, then I hope you realize from tonight's lesson how much God's Son wants you. That He would come to a cross and die that your soul could be paid for with His blood. Repent of anything that would separate you from Him. Confess and be baptized. And let us all leave this place tonight ready to go and meet our Lord for whenever He will come.